is a forum tonight on covenantal forgiveness, Christians falling in love. And my name is Jeff Merkel. I'm a pastor at the University of Lutheran in Philadelphia. Been here for a couple of weeks. The reason that I wanted to do a forum on this topic is twofold. One is because Walt Wagner is here, and he's been doing a lot of work on the issues of marriage and family by the stories that he tells. And also he has a book called As For Me and My House, which is about these issues of marriage and family, which I highly recommend to you. There are presently no copies in the bookstore, but this is what it looks like. I pirated this from someone. The other reason is because I'm a campus pastor in Philadelphia, and I find that a lot of the work that I do, a lot of the most intense work that I do, centers for people around the beginnings of relationships. And that's why I termed it Christians falling in love instead of Christian marriage or Christian love. Because I think that there's a period in relationship which we in our culture term falling in love, and I'm not saying that's the best term, I'm not saying that I even like that term, and we may want to discuss that a little bit, but it kind of comes at the point where the most intensity and vulnerability happens in an early relationship. I think that it might be helpful to hear from people who have been in relationships longer. I'm a single person, and I don't have a huge amount of marriage experience. Or experience in long-term relationships. I think that the falling in love thing continues to happen, or it's my hunch that it probably continues to happen in a marriage relationship, that you continue to find yourself caught off guard, surprised, challenged to go deeper into a relationship. But I have a sort of list of words over here talking about how a relationship might develop an intensity, and I just want to run through this before we get too much farther. You make an acquaintance with someone, you meet them, you develop perhaps a friendship next where you talk to them a little bit and you begin to trust them. And then I have this falling in, because at a certain point, it might be as soon as you see them that you have a sense of the spark or something more is going on, a kind of passion, a kind of energy, a kind of joy or something. And then comes a process where you want to do something more with that than just experience the intensity, which I call, which could be betrothal, you decide that you're going to get married or something like that, or some kind of intentionality, we're going to stay together for a couple of years, see how this is working, or we're going to live together, move in together, maybe become lovers at that point. Some kind of deepening of the relationship happens, and then comes a formal covenant, a marriage, or something of that sort. So falling in love, I have in quotes here, because I'm not saying that this is the ideal expression of love, but it is a time in a relationship that has a lot of energy, and I'd like to explore that particular time. So that's all I want to say about that. Does anybody have anything that they want to say? This is what I would like to do. I would like to put covenantal forgiveness in brackets. We may or may not get to it. What I'd really like to do is just talk about people, most of you are Christians perhaps, falling in love. And maybe we'll get to the covenantal forgiveness as time goes on. How does that sound?
You want to discuss what part our being Christian in falling in love plays?
That's a good possibility. Mm-hmm. If you're a Christian, how does that
influence
or change how you see falling in love? Falling in love, like I say, is really this intense, incredible, difficult, wonderful thing. Does it make it? Let me put my cards out on the table. I want it to make a difference that I'm a Christian when I fall in love, but it never does when I'm falling in love.
That you're Christian or someone else is Christian?
That I'm Christian or someone else is Christian, because I'm so freaked out when I fall in love and so excited that it doesn't make any difference. But later on, I try to catch up.
Sounds like a good story. Can you hear that one?
I want to hear your story. Your story.
About falling in love.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Did it make a difference that you were Christian?
Probably not in the beginning. I was on internship, and the pastor was really good at pulling out all kinds of stuff to help me look at the relationship. And probably scaring me to begin with, and probably Kathy also.
Hmm.
But I don't know that I'd have to think about that a little bit.
Hmm. Was he taking a particularly Christian point of view, or just being a practical questioner?
I think a good practical questioning, and then I have to think about what I have been doing with people that are about to get married. And I don't know that I always obviously bring up the Christian aspects, except I really walk through the service and try to describe a wedding very different than what they see on TV.
Yeah.
And I think that gets at the issue, mm-hmm. or some of the possible issues.
Like my father says, who's 88, falling in love is a brief period of insanity, and one really doesn't have much to say about it.
Do they have a doctor so you can believe him?
I think he's right.
A doctorate in life.
Insanity, is that what falling in love is?
No, yes. Hope it's
not. Brief insanity.
I've been married for 17 years, and I don't want to say that I do not love my husband, but I told him that I want to fall in love. I see that somewhere in our 50s or 60s, because being in love, falling in love, gets in the way of all the things that have to be done as far as the family goes. It's just so confusing and
so manipulating and everything else, and so love is something I like to think of as on the side, nice little icing on the cake that you treat yourself to every now and then. But in raising a family, I think it's kind of crazy being in love. It is insane.
Huh.
And two insane people and under the same roof.
With kids around.
Disastrous.
Huh. That's sort of like what Goldie says to Tevye.
Yeah.
For all these years I've done all of these things, when he keeps saying, but do you love me? Well, if that isn't love, what is? So maybe the problem is that there's all that confusion caused by that first rush of emotion, which obviously does not keep on once that initial period is over, and then the slow, steady, what I would like to call growing in love period, at least one would hope that begins and continues throughout the marriage. If it doesn't, if the first initial attraction was more of a humoral nature, physical, what have you, then the marriage dissolves. But those that get into the growing love period, but it's a little bit less easily defined because there's no violin music in the background.
So should we be skeptical of falling in love as Christians? Is that part of what you're saying? Or is
I
it
don't really think so. I think that there's a lot of emotion involved in it.
Just saying it that way, I'm skeptical of grace sometimes. The woman in my church, I'm a pastor, the woman who forgave me for how I handled asking her to resign from a committee chair, and I totally blew it. I still have trouble totally accepting your forgiveness. And I see some similarities there that I don't know that I can easily put into words. but mm-hmm. there's a lot of emotion and strong feeling in the same way of falling in love. You know, it's hard to believe grace, hard to believe somebody loves you that way.
Mm-hmm. I guess I like the definition of what type of love are we talking, you know, falling in love, to identify.
Okay, let's get a definition of love. What do you want? What's love? What's love got to do? What's love?
I can't really give a definition here, but I'd like to just tell my story here. When I came to Holden last year, I had a boyfriend who was not a Christian. And until then, I thought that I was in love with him. And at Holden last year, I really saw how important it is for me to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And it was a hard process of finding out that this is what I want to be, and that I'm not only a Christian because I was baptized and because I was confirmed and everything, but that I want to be a Christian and I want to show it, and that means that I can talk about it, and that I can talk about it to my boyfriend, and I can just stand in it. And finding that out at Holden for me meant just totally under that aspect, the friendship, that love to my boyfriend totally collapsed, because I saw that whatever I felt for him was much more a physical love than anything else. Mm-hmm. And so within the last year, I've been wondering that maybe a lot of relationships in this world, and maybe it can even last for 10 years. I think I could have gone on with that boyfriend for quite a long time, just thinking that I loved him. And it was just a very deep feeling of attraction. Mm-hmm. And how should I have known what more there could be? Mm-hmm. If I hadn't found out, and if I hadn't found out what else I expect from the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that physical attraction can be so big that you can't really see the other things anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, that you can even think that you get along fine, but actually you're just physically attracted. Mm-hmm. And so learning about my being a Christian within the last year, and I had a good friend who helped me with that, just made me see that I think I only want to have a boyfriend who is Christian, because I don't think anyone else can understand the way I feel and the way I feel about life. Mm-hmm. And I would always feel like rectifying my being a Christian towards my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And yet I think that I could always, that infatuation that you have at the mm-hmm. beginning, I could always feel that for anyone. And when I fell in love with my new boyfriend, I didn't know if he was a Christian or not. And that kind of scared me. I mean, I just thought, didn't you have all these good, I mean, didn't you think that you only wanted to fall in love with a Christian and someone who feels about God the way you do, and who can you can talk to about God? And in the first place, I didn't even know if I could. Mm-hmm. You know, it just happened, and I'm glad that I can, and that I know that he's a Christian, but I didn't know then.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's a chancy kind of thing. I think that's part of the falling in love that feels a little out of control, because you get attracted to someone before you can sort of get control over who they are and all of that stuff. Do you want to go back to your question, what love is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
I just wanted to say that I think there's a difference between infatuation and physical attraction and love. And I would be very, I would be really sad if love was just that sudden great emotion rather than something that we grow into.
Yeah.
I think that love would be even bigger after 10 years of marriage than it is on the very first date.
So why don't we get some positive? We have some negative things that Julia's come up with. Attraction, physical infatuation, your constancy. What do you want? How do you want to define love so that we can get on with the conversation? What kinds of things do you associate with love? Just throw words out that you want to be your definition of love.
I think like the three parts, because I don't think the things that are down there are bad.
No.
It's just that it's, I thought you said they were negative.
I'm sorry.
But
no.
For me, the three parts maybe would be physical, emotional, and spiritual. I want to be able to share all three of those with somebody. And if I only have two of them, something's always going to be missing.
So it's a big thing.
Yeah.
Love is a big thing, not a small thing. It's not just one piece, but it encompasses. Is that a suitable definition?
You know, in Marriage Encounter, they say love is a decision.
Decision?
Something you do.
An act of will.
Willing.
The process.
The process. That's this growing idea.
I think it has something to do with the encouraging and promoting the spiritual growth of each person. Mm-hmm. That's what I was hearing, our ideal.
Okay, spiritual growth of each person.
Common interests or common morals or common...
Common life.
Although a lot of people that are different are attracted to each other for different...
Say that louder.
Different people are attracted, you're attracted to your opposite sometimes for different reasons, but... And that can be good or bad.
Yeah. Okay, does that sound like a big enough definition of love that you feel comfortable with it? It seems like the Christian kind of modifies or is modified by all of these things, that somehow to be a Christian is to be engaged in life more fully. Is that fair to say? Is that what you feel about this phrase, Christians falling in love?
I'm so uncomfortable with some. There's still been no distinction made between concept of using falling in love and love.
To change it to falling in infatuation.
Falling into infatuation? Would you prefer if I just take out falling and put growing? Is that a distinction that would be helpful?
Chris, my mind is a big, massive difference. I mean, one almost contradicts the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that's helpful to talk about, and that's part of what I'm trying to pose in this forum, is that we are Christians, we do fall in love, we find out that sometimes it's problematic. What do we do about that, or how do we deal with that? One thing that we decided to do was to enlarge our idea of love so that the falling in component means that we fall into something bigger than just infatuation.
But you can't fall into decisions.
Yeah, they're not the same. It's not
a you kind of like don't want to make this decision now. You have to make it because you're with this person. It's like
no, but that's part of the process, I guess. I see the falling in part as the.
What is falling in love? What is that piece of? I mean. What is it for you?
Out of control.
Out of control?
Loss of perspective.
Okay, let's get this down.
I smile a lot.
Loss of perspective, loss of control.
Emotions taking over.
Emotions.
So you can say basically it's an emotional response.
Okay, emotional response. What else? Falling.
It's exciting.
Exciting.
Feeling special.
Great.
Feeling special.
Hurting.
Hurting.
I think we soften our borders and let somebody in.
Soften borders.
Vulnerable.
Also a lack of clarity between fantasy and reality.
This is good, this is good. So some of you are drawn to this, I can tell. And also some of you have been burned by it. Right? This falling in love has been problematic for some of us. Why don't we get out some of those stories? What has been good about falling in love for some of you? Come on.
We have to do
something. You go into the store and you want to buy something. And you're excited about it, and you might not have the money, but you save up enough money. And let's say the sweater that you have on, you really liked it the first time you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Great sweater. But then when it's not new anymore, after you've worn it a couple of times, you don't take care of it. You just walk into the house and you throw it on the bed, or you might find it on the floor. You begin to take it for granted, and I think people have a tendency to do that. When you see something the first time, you're just crazy about it, and you think about having it and wanting it and taking care of it. But once you get it, it just becomes like a comfortable pair of shoes. They just kind of sit around for a while.
So for you, the intensity of the falling aspect tends to lead to a lack of perspective over the long run, and actually to disregard the thing later, or to hold it in less regard than you would have if you hadn't had that initial surge of intense desire. Is that what you...
Even a jaguar is old.
Was there anybody who likes falling in love, who doesn't get... when afterwards you're glad that you did it anyway? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to...
Yeah.
Oh,
tell us about falling in love.
Sure. We're really glad.
You're glad?
We did. Within the last year, a remarriage.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you have some sense of joy and intensity of...
Very much. Very much. In a fellowship in Christ, which is inexplainable.
Hmm.
It's a great life.
How about other folks? Nobody else likes falling? Yeah, go ahead.
I think that this rather cold Northern European background kind of backs away in, you know, emotion. Let's be careful not let it run away. And a lot of that, the period after that, oh, my goodness. You know, I'd rather be like Spock and be a Vulcan and look at this logically. I let my emotions carry me away. And if we're limiting this to romantic love, if that quote and unquote, that one in which one is looking for a marriage partner, that's one thing. But I don't think we allow ourselves to really love with much emotion and become attached to other people. I've fallen in love with many people, not with the idea of searching for a marriage. I'm very happy with my wife, 34 years. We're not planning on splitting. But that being afraid of emotion, as you say, becoming vulnerable, I think that the excitement of getting to know someone well, new,
mm-hmm.
I've experienced that a number of times, thankfully, and I think it's great.
I wonder if you're talking about expression or emotion. You know, are you demonstrative in how you feel? Or is it, you know, I think North Europeans can have just as much feeling. Yeah. As do Southern Europeans. But they aren't as demonstrative about it.
I think they're even shook up when they find out they feel that much.
Okay.
Very.
But it can lead us to making decisions that are painful and hurtful as well.
Yes.
Folks have those kinds of stories, since nobody has happy stories.
Oh, I'm saying nobody has happy stories. I think falling in love is wonderful.
Yeah!
Great!
Right.
I love falling in love. And I've fallen in love lots of times. I remember going to Italy, and every time you went to a new town, you fell in love with someone different. It was just wonderful. In falling in love here, I can remember falling in love a few times, but then sometime along the line saying, wait a minute, could I stand him the rest of my life? No way. So, and I think we can keep that feeling of falling in love in a long marriage if we work at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can keep that excitement.
Mm-hmm.
It's not every day, but it's great.
I'm not sure that falling in love with just somebody for a little while is really falling in love. I think that's more falling in infatuation.
Well, yeah, but that's what we're kind of talking about. I mean, it's that same feeling. You think you're...
But I don't think the one that you eventually really fall in love with and marry isn't the same feeling as the one that you thought maybe you might...
You don't think so?
Same feeling.
I think it's the same feeling, the same exact feeling. I think every time I fall in love with somebody, I think, I'm going to marry this person, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't fall in love with them if I didn't do that.
Yeah, that's great. That's what I
Maybe I'm just crazy.
I have a question. Did they think they were going to marry you also? That's not important.
Sometimes, I don't know.
For me, that would be an important question because you felt you meet people and you say, gee, I think I'm going to marry. And she might have been thinking the same thing. So what happened that the two of you felt the same attraction, the same love? Why didn't you get married?
We screwed up.
Yes.
The insanity ended.
What? Insanity ended.
And the growing dark insanity. But I don't think Christians fall in love any differently than people that are not Christians, because the Christians aren't holy. Because people are Christians, there are Christians that are holy and Christians that are not holy. There's an emptiness inside that comes from our past.
Mm-hmm.
And because all of a sudden you have this thing and you label yourself as a Christian, it doesn't mean that you're a whole person, that you're actually capable of giving love and sharing love.
Well, I'd like to know if people fall in love differently because they're Christian. Is there anyone here who feels like they make different decisions around this issue of falling in love or growing in love because of their experience of God or their experience of grace or their experience through church or something like that? Or is that a moot point?
I think only in the respect that someone, when they're thinking about falling in love for the purpose of marriage, might very well look in a Christian community only. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, I consciously did that. I think my children might do that, will do that, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Because
and,
this is
and
certain
only
kind of-
in that way.
There's
kind
a quality
of,
kind of person that you're looking for, which religious communities form.
Quality person?
I don't know. I'm just trying to...
I have real trouble with that idea, too. Quality equals Christian. Christian equals quality.
Well, why did you feel that looking at a Christian community would be better than another place?
Because you said, does a Christian fall in love any differently?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, except... that they might, a Christian would probably go looking in a Christian community for that.
Because that's their community.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's
I'm not saying the quality of the person is going to be fantastic.
Sorry.
I think I fall in love just the same as I used to. Except I think that as my faith grows stronger, the things that I'm attracted to are different than the people that I fall in love with. I think the difference that my faith, though, I don't think I have to marry a Christian. I know I have to marry someone who's
commitment to their faith was the same as mine. And I think that what's different is I made choices different because of my faith. So,
So there is a difference.
I think you can also look at that as a life growth process too. And the kind of person you might have fallen in love with as a 15-year-old isn't necessarily the kind of person you fall in love with as a 25-year-old. For some people it might be, but for others I think it could
be. But for me, I guess I'm intentionally saying that it's a faith process instead of a life process. For me that makes the difference. So they're sort of like intertwined, but I think the faith development has been a lot influential in that.
So how has that been? What are you looking for that's different? I mean,
you're the one who said I was shy, right? Like about a half hour
ago? Yeah, right.
Are those the notes of the description of the resume. Oh, resume.
I still think chemistry is really important. And because being here at Holden for the whole year, I think one couple that just really impressed me were Paul and Carola Bowe. And if you watch them, they were so fun. Because when you talk about falling in love, I mean, they're in their 70s and they're still in love. I mean, and it was really fun to watch. And you could just, it's sort of like when you go to a wedding and you know when people are, you know, sometimes you have a really good feeling about how the marriage will go and sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. But watching them was just really fun. It wasn't always, it was real special. And I've seen that in several other relationships here. Mm-hmm. And so I think falling in love, I don't know if it would be like falling in love like you do. But somehow, and I don't know if it's a demonstrative stuff either, but it just, there's a specialness that you saw. Like a respect and a tenderness. And
I think a big part of love comes through the tough times.
Through the tough times?
I mean, I'm attracted to a certain type of a guy, but it could be a variety of men, but, you know, that you can do that for a year or whatever, but it's a long-term tough stuff.
So you're drawn to people who have been through that or people who can weather that or both?
Well, I don't know because I'm such a just beginning the path. And, you know, it's marriage is tough. It's a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's to me I love it. It's good and bad. But the falling in love is like the fun part.
Yeah.
The fun part of it.
But I would also say it's been fun. I've been married something like 12 years to get past some of the early assumptions that I had to live with. And for us, you know, I grew up on a bunch of hamburgers and working a Jack in the Box. And then my wife wanted to go to vegetarianism. That was roughly 3 years of hard fighting in real subtle ways to put something on the table, and it's just a look. And it's taken a lot of rediscovery and openness from both of us, and to now head back into some of those old assumptions that have been sitting there for a long time untalked about, and rediscovering that there's a certain sense of falling all over again and an excitement when those times occur when we're not too busy to talk because of other outside forces.
I guess that's what love is for me, is the openness. And then being accepted, you know, not necessarily agreeing with it, but saying, you know, that's what you think. It's difficult, too.
Because we don't agree on a lot of different things. But so often those gaps that I have been so well filled by her and in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, too.
I wanted to respond to what Sandy said. that I think even people who are not Christians will be very impressed by seeing an old couple that is still in love and that you can see, and that they will expect the same thing from a marriage, like tenderness and what you said. But I think the main difference in being in love as a Christian is probably that being a Christian is changing my life, and it's maybe a different way of making decisions as a Christian. I focus on different things. I think about things in a different way. So it's not only a development that everyone goes through in his life, but it's a development towards being a Christian, mm-hmm. and that makes the difference in my decisions and in my life, and with that in my relationship. Maybe it's much more of a responsible way of living, mm-hmm. and a much more conscious way of living, and much more responsibility towards the other person, mm-hmm. and also to a sexual relationship, much more responsibility to that. Mm-hmm. Just, I think as being a Christian changes my life, it also changes my relationship. Maybe not my first infatuation, but my first emotional high rise, but mm-hmm.
It channels it or something.
Yeah.
When I wrote this this title, I was almost thinking that Christians falling in were that in a sense Christians have a different sense, a different place where they stand, and so if they fall in love, and I hope they continue to fall in love, I would think it would be different because of the different place that they stand. And I think Randy was talking about some people really have been burned. I've been burned. I've burned people falling in love with them, because I wasn't ready. I mean, and they didn't know I wasn't ready, and they thought I was ready, and I wasn't. And, 2 weeks later, I wasn't interested. I couldn't do it. I couldn't hold up my end of the bargain, and I felt bad. And as a Christian, as a person who wants to care for the well-being of another person and to be really gentle and kind and thoughtful and all of that stuff, I felt like I betrayed someone. So falling in love has this cutting edge for me as well. I mean, I don't know if other people have had that experience of sort of being drawn into something that you thought you had integrity, and then finding that really you, in effect, you're a sinner. You have betrayed another person. And that's a tough one. I mean, does any of that stuff resonate with people?
It is, but you have to be true to yourself to make it feel right for you.
Yeah, I'm not saying you should stay with someone that you're not feeling comfortable with, but when you fall in love with someone, you immediately are at an intense place.
Jeff, I think you can acknowledge to yourself that you're in love with somebody and that you're attracted to them and all those top four words, whatever falling in love is. You can acknowledge that and to yourself, and then you can decide to make, the rational thing is, or maybe for me, the faith issue is that I can decide what to do about that. I mean, you can go slow, or you can say, yes, I am really attracted to you, and also I want to go really slow, and to make sure that it's not something I'm going to. So you have integrity. So you maintain integrity also to the other person and to yourself as well.
Mm-hmm. So we're sort of moving toward a kind of ethics, sort of a way of being that has integrity, even as you're moving to. Any thoughts on that? I mean, what have people learned? Any trial and error experiences here?
I think what happened for me so long, and I didn't know this, was that, I don't know if this is exactly right, I've heard it described like I was a half person trying to find someone else to be the other half so we'd make a whole. And having gone through a divorce and then the breakup of a long-term relationship, this last relationship, when I went into it, I can't really say it was with integrity. I really thought that this person wasn't good for me and I wouldn't want to marry him. But once that got into that, I don't know if you call it falling in love, but that real strong attraction, I just didn't have what it took to pull back out again. And it took 7 years for me to get back out of that again. Mm-hmm. And now my goal is, although, you know, I still don't know how this is going to exactly work, but my goal is, and I think I have become more of a whole person, especially now that the spiritual dimension of my life has been growing. And hopefully this time, this may be rambling, but one of the speakers I heard was talking about, you know, taking a look at what kinds of things I was looking for people to fill. And when I went back and wrote all these ways I felt when I met my husband, I started realizing that I have learned in those intervening years, 17 years, how to make myself feel that way, how to nurture myself, how to feel important all by myself instead of having a partner that's going to make me feel important. Mm-hmm. You know, all those different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So now I feel like I'm finally growing up. Mm-hmm. And working on developing, being, I guess those three areas I said, spiritual, emotional, and physical, and developing in all those ways, mm-hmm. so I can be a whole person going in to be able to give instead of just to try and take what I mm-hmm. need out.
Yeah.
You know, I think we can all love, and we want to be in loving relationships, but do we have the skills? I think there's some skills involved, and that's what makes a difference. Sometimes it happens with age, and sometimes it doesn't happen with age. Skills like, do I know what my feelings are? Can I hear somebody else's feelings? Can I say mine directly? Do I know what my needs are? Can I ask for them directly? Mm-hmm. Do I care if the other person gets their needs met? Then I'm emotionally responsible. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that they're probably the same thing on the spiritual mm-hmm. domain. Mm-hmm. I know that somebody that I've listened to, the question is not, are they the right person, but am I the right person? You know, do I have the skills to be in a loving relationship? If not, I'm going to get in a relationship with somebody who's at the same level, maybe different, but the same level of emotional development as I am. And then we got two halves, or quarter and two thirds, or whatever it is.
Ross, I wonder if one of our problems, particularly in the United States or in America, is that we have put together falling in love with marriage, and we have assumed that one flows into the other, and we have great dramas and great theater and great movies that portray state of falling in love and getting married at the end of the movie and walking off. And
not anymore.
Not anymore. but that kind of mythology persists in our society. And I wonder if we wouldn't be in a much healthier position if we could separate the two. We could acknowledge that falling in love is basically a psychological experience. And it's a wonderful experience. We would never get together. It didn't happen. But to make all kinds of assumptions about that it should lead to marriage is maybe not such a helpful thing. You know, in a lot of other societies, falling in love is one thing, and the decision about getting married and who you get married is totally a different thing. In some societies, that was arranged by your parents. And still today, if we were Koreans, half of us would go to a matchmaker, and we'd present our resume, and the matchmaker would find other resumes that fit ours and introduce us.
Mm-hmm. And would you like that?
Would
you like that?
Well, Koreans seem to like it. And
In other cultures, people fall in love, but before they get married, they have to pass other kinds of tests, you know, like whether they can get pregnant or not. Mm. And if they can't, then the marriage is off. And but in our society, we've kind of put together this business of falling in love and getting married. Mm-hmm. One sort of logically leading to the other. And so we have this grandiose psychological experience. And the problem is that sometimes that's all it is.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is interesting is that I'd like to actually hear from home people. Do people fall in love more at home or less at home? than in the outside world, because the one thing about Holland is that it's a fishbowl, and if you fall in love with somebody, you know, you're going to be stuck seeing them, and break up, you're going to have to sort of see them for the rest of your time here. I mean, does that make it less likely that people are going to take the risk?
I think you meet a lot more people here. You know, if you think, I know, working for 5 years in a suburb, you know, I could count on one hand the number of really new people that I would, you know, that meet, that I would have any, you know, beyond any more of an acquaintance, you know, maybe a business meeting or something. But the people you actually meet that actually become a friend at all, you know, you're lucky if it was 2 or 3 a year. And of course, here you've got incredible turnover of people, and a fairly intense experience to where you, you know, I guess some would argue you don't get much past the acquaintance level, but I think you do, and I think you do more. I think you get a lot of friends here, and I think that can lead just on the basis of sheer numbers to a lot more, you know, quote, falling in type of thing.
Going back to do Christians fall in love differently, mentioning that you tend or could narrow or look within the Christian community, I think that's pretty much what my intentions were. And the first young woman that I became very strongly attracted to, and we went together for a couple of years, happened to be a Roman Catholic, and I was Lutheran, both Christian, but this was prior to Vatican II, and I had grown up in a home which was Lutheran Catholic, and at the end of that time we pretty much mutually agreed that it just was not a good idea, that there were just too many problems that it would introduce because we both had very strong beliefs. Mm-hmm. It's one of those situations, I don't think we really fell out of love. It happens that she still is one of mine and my wife's very good friends. Mm-hmm. But it was just one of those things. But that's, you know, you can, I think, look fine within that area. Doesn't mean necessarily you have to end up being married. Mm-hmm. Either it's one of these trial relationships in a way. Somebody once said about the difference between infatuation or so on and love was like a fireplace. Too bad we don't have one here. But when you first light it, that initial flare, that's the infatuation, and it burns down to the steady glow of coals. That's the real love.
Well, I have a couple of things on the board that I have to justify before we end the forum. The one is this sort of square over here. This is a person and this is another person attracted to one another or married to one another. One of the points that Wagner makes is that they develop a relationship which is sort of separate from them, and they need to develop so that there's a person, an individual here, but together they create what is a relationship. And I think that's an important thing to remember, that what falling in love and growing in love means is that you're moving away a little bit from yourself toward creating something together. Another way of talking about it is that two separate individuals begin to enlarge their circle so that there's a common area in between, and developing that common area. And that's the discipline, the intentionality that's required to move from simply an infatuation to something that has substance and can really nurture. And I also put up here, put God as part of it, because I think that's where Christians works. Because if you're a Christian, you believe that you are in a relationship with God, and that what you do comes from the grace of God. You're able to do things because of the grace of God. And so, as you do those things, you are moved or fed by God. And I put that in also as a relationship, so that this person over here has a relationship with God which is equal to their relationship to the other person. And that's terribly important for the other person. If I am in a relationship with Julia, then my relationship to God is important to Julia, see? And so, even as we're falling in love, my relationship to God has an impact on her, and her relationship to God has an impact on me. Covenantal forgiveness is Wagnerin's idea. It's, covenantal is really the law, and forgiveness is the gospel, if you want to use Lutheran terms. Or another way of talking about it is, you make a covenant, you make agreements, and you're going to break them. You know? And the breaking of them, the relationship can only survive if there's an ability on the part of the person who's offended to forgive you. I think that's a very, very interesting conjunction of terms. Covenant, the promise, the desire to promise, the longing to give more, to give everything, and also the recognition that there are going to be times when it doesn't quite follow through and work out. I think it takes a lot of time beyond the falling in love stage to really develop all of that.
What about the one flesh? The Bible says you become one,
I think that's what...
And maybe I missed that, maybe we talked about that earlier, but...
That's what I think that's what
this
is all about.
Yeah, I think that's what you're trying to say there. Once you come together, and in that relationship, even after the marriage, and sometimes that relationship, if you stay in that relationship, it grows, and it grows closer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what one flesh is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And through trials and tribulations with forgiveness, there just can't be anything else but Christ-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And if that relationship has to grow stronger and more loving and beautifully.
Does anybody else have any comments? We have maybe another comment or two that we can go through.
Well, and the caution there is just so long as that does not mean the extinguishing. If you've seen this at a marriage ceremony,
Two
candles, light the unity candle,
mm-hmm.
blow out the other two,
mm-hmm.
and I shudder.
Yeah.
Extinguishing. Because a marriage should be a relationship which enables each person to be all that he or she can be,
mm-hmm.
rather than one person merging into or subjugating to another or disappearing.
That?
I just been thinking about what you were saying, Scott, and just, I guess my only question is really, the way we, in the United States, it just depends what you want to save. I mean, if you want to have a good marriage statistic, then that might be great. I don't know, I think there's a lot of factors to look at if you're in a marriage that is simply by convenience. Or that you simply are like, that you simply work it out and you live together. I mean, that's sort of like the other extreme too, but just see how bad it is in the United States. That's because we look at the divorce rate, and that maybe the marriages, it just depends what you're after.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't advocate the Korean system. But there's no doubt that it works for a lot of people.
How do you mean that? What's works? I mean, that's what I don't understand.
Well, they literally go to a matchmaker.
I know, but what's their goal that it works? What makes it work?
Lower divorce rate than you.
Because
well, they go to a matchmaker. The matchmaker winds up some people. When I was there in January, I met with the professor at the university, and he told me how he met his wife. He went to a matchmaker. The matchmaker had picked out three candidates for him. He selected the one that he liked the best, and they got married. And if he were here, if they were here today, they would tell you that they love each other very much.
But what chances do people in that country have, especially women who are divorced? I mean, what chances do they have to say that, well, it didn't work out? I think you also have to see that aspect in that kind of society.
Yeah, but I think the point is that
it does
the things that the reasons that we fall in love are pretty much arbitrary anyway. I mean, you're attracted to some because they're, oh, they got blonde hair, or you know, oh, they played great in that soccer game or something like that. You just sort of pick a person out and you get to know them and you might end up marrying them. And I don't think that in fact the matchmaker is one step removed, it's more impartial. I mean, not looking at blonde hair, but looking at social background, looking at, you know, parents' vocations and stuff like that.
Yeah, India, you know, now there's a conflict because the traditional way was arranged marriages through astrology and all this, and getting several candidates would be the most suitable according to their horoscope.
Yeah.
And the families choose it. And I talked with one lady who has a really successful marriage that way. She had three different choices. They both, you know, they finally got together, and she showed me a video of their marriage ceremony. They never had seen each other except in pictures until they got married. Mm-hmm. And they go through all these rites, and you know, they tie their you know, they have all these different things. They tie the nuptial knot, and they walk around with their clothes knotted together, and they do all these different things. And by the end of the evening, it's just been such an enchanting experience. All this, you know, all these ceremonies and all these friends there and everything, and all they feed each other, and they go through all these things. And she said, after that, they fall in love. It's very romantic, and it's very geared towards that thing, and they work it out. They know that it's the best, and it's been, you know, it's got to work. They put a lot of faith in it. But now, with all the Western influence, they're affected a lot by love marriages. So they're talking about, well, I don't know, the modern Indian women are saying, well, I don't know, maybe I think I'm going to go for a love marriage instead of an arranged marriage. There's this whole modernization thing going on. But it has worked for a long time. In fact, the old thing of sati, the women throwing themselves on the husband's funeral pyre, you know. Mm-hmm. Their husband was God. When he went, there's nothing to live for.
Yeah.
They had to stop that. And now the Hindu women just become sannyasa. They go on a special diet and fast and wear a white sari until the end of their days when their husband dies. So there's no question of remarriage, or there's no question of divorce. But a lot of women suffer tremendously in marriages that are not compatible and they can't get out. So there are a lot of problems.
And in a society that has arranged marriages, I think one of the significant things one has to look at, like, let's say, Victorian England, how free were the husbands to seek what else they wanted outside of the marriage, and how much was that either winked at or openly condoned?
Yeah.
Certainly is it.
Yeah. Well, we really have to quit at this point, but I again put in a plug for Walt's book, As For Me and My House, and for what you said as well, that we really need to develop the skills. I think one of the things that Walt is very good at is looking at some of the skills that need to be developed in order to make this theological idea of covenantal forgiveness work in our relationships, and so that our fallings in love really become grace-filled and a sign of the kingdom.
Okay.
Can you quote the book again?
It's called As For Me and My House.
But they don't have it in the bookstore.
But they don't have it in the bookstore because it's all sold out. So you can't get it.
If any of you come back in November, we're going to have a couple's retreat and we'll use that book as our text.
Okay. Great.
Is he the one that writes for Luther? Is Luther?
Yep.
Yeah.
Has a mustache?
Yep. Who's here? Who's here right now?
Here right this minute?
Where is it? Up in Shall I 10.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.